Time now for the Tuesday talk show here on KAJO Radio. We ask that you hold your phone calls until the after the top of the hour news. If you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. One further note before we get into today's program is that we are in the process of scheduling candidate interviews. Should be coming back shortly after the first of the month. We'll get those announced here shortly. So keep your dial set right here for all the information you need to cast an intelligent vote. All right, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. We have county commissioners in today, at least two out of three, and let's see. I don't see Herman in the parking lot yet, but we kind of expect that he'll either show or, well, we hope he shows. Anyway, welcome, John West and Andrus Bleck, to the show today. John, let's start with you. You're the chair of the Board of County Commissioners. What are you dealing with these days in terms of what the constituents are talking to you about?
Oh, it's, you know, it's election season, so people are pretty busy with that. You know, we still do our day-to-day complaints of typical things of that people don't like about county government. We continue to hear about the homeless constantly, and the real issues going on with the homeless are the city's dealings. It's not ours. So that being said, you know, we're having a city county meeting today. It'll be interesting to see what's on the city's minds. We haven't had a city county meeting for, six or seven months, I think, or maybe longer. They haven't been too interested in meeting. So, been kind of interesting to see what's on their talking points. But, you know, it's the marijuana season, so the sheriff's in full fledge trying to get a handle on the illegal grows, and it's just our day-to-day stuff, you know, budget cutting and trying to get ready for this economy meltdown.
20 years ago, if you'd have said that was day-to-day stuff, I'd have jumped out of my chair. But we're so used to hearing it now. First of all, the situation you mentioned with the homeless. Does the county have any homeless situations at all outside of the county, outside of those areas that the city is so familiar with?
We have some homeless issues along some right-of-ways out in our county, out in our wooded area, but nothing like the city. The homeless wants to be inside the city limits because that's where all your stores,
all the services are.
Yeah.
And all the services are.
So they want to be close to that. And so that's why they really flock to the city.
All right. Does the county need to have a designated camping area like the city does?
No.
Okay. All right. Real brief answer. Thank you very much. I want to get Andrus in here. Andrus Bleck, step up to the microphones there. What are your constituents telling you about? What are you having to deal with your people?
Yeah, good morning, Chuck. The day-to-day kind of things that we're dealing with has a lot to do with land use, dealing with neighbors, so one neighbor and another having concerns about what's going on their property. That's a big deal of some issues that I'm taking care of right now. And then also, as Commissioner West said, a budget, trying to save the county money. There's little nooks and crannies where there's a possibility and opportunities to save. And I think we're exploring as many as we can right now. I'm personally focused on the fleet that the county has, all the vehicles, and making sure that we're efficient with the resources that we have. And that's very important.
All right. What obstacles do you find trying to keep the county efficient?
Well, you know, I think it's been said that the county receives, I believe, is 83% of our funding comes through grants. And so there's not a lot of leeway for any kind of spending. There, anything that is not absolutely necessary, required to run government is going to have to be trimmed back, cut back, whatever it takes. It's unfortunate, but it doesn't look like our county has a real big opportunity to create revenue on its own. And that's difficult. In the private sector, you know that if you have a product or a service, you can always expand on that and hopefully get the revenue side on the balance sheet higher. Here at the county level, that's very, very difficult.
in terms of money and coming to the county right now? Are we still in a shrinking mode right now? Are we losing money incoming, or is the incoming money just not enough to meet the demand?
I think both of those are true. If you look at the grants on the state level and on the federal level, they're being reduced significantly year after year after year after year. So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah.
And the costs just keep going up.
Unfortunately, that's where we live.
All right. Herman Bartschinger is joining us here right on time, Herman. Thank you very much. We never had any doubt that you'd make it today.
I did.
Okay, there you go.
I had doubts. What is it? Is the homeless don't have to pay attention to traffic devices? I just watched a guy almost get killed walking across, just right through the red light. He pushed the button, just took off walking. He had cars going on both sides of him, and he had a sleeping bag over his head. Chuck, I'll tell you, I don't know.
This is not the town I moved to 30 years ago.
Oh, it's not the town I moved to over 40 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So anyways, I'll just kind of dovetail on what Commissioner Black has said. At the end of the day, the reason we're finding ourselves in, first of all counties are contracting with resources, but Josephine County more than others, because for decades we depended on ONC funds, and they're just simply going away. They've almost gone away. Okay, so we went from a county in the 70s that paid all their bills on ONC, didn't have property taxes, had more money than we knew what to do with, built three high schools, fairgrounds, courthouses, everything, all on ONC money, and that's all gone away. And there's nothing to replace it, because when Measure 5 and 47 was implemented that basically froze property taxes, that happened when we were flush with ONC money, so we had little property taxes, and they were froze at that rate. And so that's why we're feeling the pain more than other counties.
You say every county, though, is contracting right now, statewide.
Well, yeah, we're all faced with inflation. So the revenue is consistent or going down, but the other side of the ledger is going up, cost of doing business. So, yeah, we're all having our issues.
All right. So we're going back to the state in order to try to fix some of these issues. Is that a fair assessment? Can it go back to the state?
How's the state going to fix it?
Well, the state can adjust the property tax, couldn't they?
No, that's an initiative process that set those.
Well, then an initiative process could be implemented, could it not?
Do you think an initiative process, can you see on your ballot, vote for this and your property taxes will go up? Do you think that's going to work?
Well, you make a valid point. However, when you look at the services happening around all of the counties, evidently, people will at some point begin to feel, is less safe a good way to state that?
When you look at your ballot and mm-hmm. you're sitting home all by yourself and nobody's looking over your shoulder and it says vote yes and your property taxes will go up, are you going to get 51% of the people to vote yes?
Probably not.
Okay.
But if I'm not feeling safe, if I'm feeling threatened and you want another 1%, I might say yes.
Maybe. But listen, I think it has to get a lot worse. One thing I learned in the legislature, count your votes.
Okay.
And I do not see 51% of most likely voters in Oregon to vote yes to increase their property taxes.
I understand that. Believe me, I do. At any rate, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. Here the county commissioners are in studio, and we'll continue right after this word.
It's back to school.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show here. We're reminiscing a little bit about 40 years ago when I'm not sure things were different then, but we were headed into a specific situation. At any rate, let's get back to the topics at hand. And county commissioners are in studio. I believe it was last Wednesday night you hosted a town hall meeting at the fairgrounds. Can you outline for me how that meeting came about and how it transpired and what was the outcome? John, I'll start with you.
So it was last Thursday.
Was it last Thursday?
Yes, at the Flora Building. And so there's all these conspiracy theories of why now, why are you having this meeting in September? So you got to follow the timeline. We go through budget season. Budget's got to be done by June 30th. budget settles, all that. So it takes into July. So the board cut our, we did away with our agreement with 4-H OSU. So there's a 30-day lag onto that, that they have 30 days within for that to end. And so by the time we do all the July, August, and get, it was September before we could have our first meeting, so we could come back to the citizens and say, hey, okay, now that 4-H OSU's gone, we want to hear from you. We want to see what programs that you think are important to you. What programs do you need help on? Do you need building use? Do you need, what is it you need? And so that's why it took up till September and trying to get it on a schedule, get it noticed and all that. So that was the nuts and bolts of that. And so we had the meeting. There was some of the groups didn't show up. They are dug in that says, if we don't get OSU back, we don't want your help. In so many words, that's what they're saying. So be it. I mean, we're here to make Josephine County good. We're here to make sure that as many of the programs we can get back and work. But if groups dig in and say, you know, want to hold us hostage and say, well, we're not going to participate unless you do it our way, well, we'll see how that works out. That's all I can say to that. But we had a good response, about 50 people there. I think we had about six different programs. I think in our next meeting, we're not sure when that'll be. We'll have another town hall and we'll see which groups. I learned about some groups that I didn't even know we had. Some people that use the buildings, whether they're older people and exercising groups or different vegetable raising groups. You know, you just don't know what's out there until you start getting it and able to see what's going on. But overall, I felt like it was a pretty good response. And what I see, most of the groups, they're needing space, and some of them are needing some money, but they're needing space more than anything, you know. And so that was, you know, there. And I'm just here in a short time, so I'm not able to tell you every single thing, but you know, that's what I gathered from the bulk of it in just this one short meeting. So
any positives come out of it particularly?
I think so. You know, there was a couple of groups were, you know, a little saddened by what went on, but I at the end of the day, I talked to some of them afterwards. They understood. They totally understood. I actually had two groups that come and said they thought that this should have happened a while back. So I was kind of like a little taken back by that one. So, yeah. So
do you foresee any changes coming about because of the meeting?
I think so. I think the Board of Commissioners are listening. They're going to try to do everything they can to help out. I think we're just in the early stages, so we need to hear more. We need to, and so we can see how we can accommodate those groups of our community.
All right. Herman, you've been pretty outspoken on this issue. What's your take from last Thursday's meeting?
Well, first, I need to clarify here. Sam Marsh here at the radio station has been reporting that Josephine County is the only county without Oregon Extension Service. I don't think that's correct. I think Multnomah County, the most populous county in Oregon, also does not have Oregon Extension Service. So you might have Sam check that out.
All right, will do.
You know, there was positives and negatives. The biggest program is the 4-H livestock program, and that's turned into Josephine County Youth and Ag, and they're very positive and moving forward. And some other groups. One of the groups.
Were they in the meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and they gave a presentation, and they're doing their own thing. And you know, it's pretty impressive. I think she said there was 205 kids that sold at the auction for $860,000. That's like $4,500 a kid. So it's pretty impressive, and no government. So that's pretty impressive. There were some other groups that were reaching out, and they wanted to continue on, but it kind of, kind of shocked me. I don't know if shocked me, but kind of raised an eyebrow that one of the most vocal groups in this process were Master Gardeners, and nobody from Master Gardeners showed up. So,
all right,
I don't know what that's all about.
Are we missing something for Master Gardeners?
Listen, it's they can create their own program and move on. Maybe they can't call it Master Gardeners. Maybe that's a trademark name for Extension Service. I don't know, but they could call it Josephine County Master Gardeners or create their own. And you know, we David James was there, you know, who's been a longtime advocate of gardening and mm-hmm. advocate of gardening in Josephine County. And I think he wrote for the Courier for like,
I believe he
years.
Did. Yes.
Yeah. And he's got his own program going. And so I don't know why those people feel like they have to depend on Oregon State Extension Service to have a Master Gardeners program. You don't. Do it yourself. So there's a lot of things that can happen, and so I think that meeting was very good. I think there were some people that had opened their eyes and saying, oh, we can still continue on, and the county's going to try to accommodate them, Tamara at the fairgrounds, scheduling building times and stuff like that. We've got a commercial kitchen out there for the canners, and we can make all that still happen, and we don't need the Oregon Extension Service to do that.
Okay, all right. So do you see positives coming out of that then?
I see way more positives than negatives.
All right. Andrus Blick, you weigh in here.
Well,
you're still the new kid on the block, but...
I am, yeah, very much. So 7 weeks I've been at the job now, I believe 7 weeks. And I have to confess to you and the listeners that prior to my taking this position at the county commissioner's office, this particular topic was not something that affected me directly, and therefore I'm not as up to date and understanding exactly what's going on. Now, the 7 weeks that I've been there, I've been trying to learn as much and as fast as I can, but because I wasn't involved in it early on, I see what's going on, and I'm trying to be as useful and as helpful as I can. I see the process is working good, and we have really good staff that are working on this. But as far as commenting any further on that, I just don't want to say something that I don't have a good enough understanding of.
All right. Well, we'll move on. You've got a business session coming up tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Ambassador Auditorium. It's a weekly business session. Very light agenda, although you are moving some money around, and this is basically a situation just to keep the budget balanced and the various divisions operating. Is that what's happening tomorrow?
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. And we'll get a briefing on that this afternoon.
Oh, okay. On your agenda, if you want to look at it, that came off of the website. Basically moving a little bit of money around, some more money going into the sheriff's department. Is that what I'm understanding? Basically for insurance. Is that right?
Oh, yes. And so we're going to do that because currently we're not tracking how much the insurance is for the sheriff's office through their budget. It kind of gets just lumped into the county insurance policy. So what we're doing now is we're taking that insurance policy apart to see how much all the departments are paying. Well, to do that, we have to appropriate that money, and then we can track it. So we're not spending any more money. It's just an accounting academic
exercise.
Yeah, exercise. Yeah. And so we have to put it in the budget in order to track it, but we're not spending any more money. It's just now we want to – how much does insurance cost for the sheriffs? How much insurance costs for all the different departments? So we're just splitting it all up.
And most of this is for the insurance, and yeah. I think that's something a lot of people don't even think about, the sheriff's department. Oh, yeah, they've got to have insurance to the tune of over $300,000.
It's the law enforcement's the biggest risk of insurance for the county.
All right. I don't suppose there's any way to shop around and get a cheaper
well, we
situation.
Used to be self-insured when we had the ONC funds. Mm-hmm. We were a little more healthy financially, but we've had to go to an insurance company now because we simply can't take the risk of being self-insured anymore.
So basically what we're doing here, this won't hurt any of the situations or deputies on the street,
it's
nothing
just,
like
it's
that.
It's just where does the numbers fall in the ledger is all this is about.
Okay. Transparency.
Transparency. All right. Make it all transparent for us, John.
Okay. So $300,000+, it was in the what we call general government fund.
Mm-hmm.
So general government was paying the insurance for the jail and the sheriff. So if you come in and you say, hey, I want to look at the sheriff's budget, and you go, wow, you see all of it, you never would see that because you wouldn't know to look in general mm-hmm. government. For so we give out of the general fund, we give that money to pay those insurances. You don't never see that because it was buried in general government. So by moving it over there, it's transparent. Now you can see, okay, the Board of Commissioners allotted this much money out of the general fund, and the money went and paid for the insurance. And now you get to see totally what a deputy costs you and what it costs. And also, when people make the comment, well, you cut the sheriff's budget, you didn't give him every, what, well, you're not even seeing all the stuff, but now you get to see it. So you get to actually see, oh, well, they did actually give him this amount of millions of dollars or whatever. So,
and that lets not only the county commissioners, but everybody who looks at the budget an opportunity to see exactly what's going where by a line item.
Exactly. And they never seen that before.
All right. Well, we're moving on here. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We're getting close to moving on to the top of the hour news. That's coming up here, and I've got a couple of commercials to get in. All right, I'm just going to throw one out here. Gentlemen, is there a topic that you'd like to discuss after the top of the hour news? Let's give them a tease. Oh, golly, crickets.
Are you interested in paying more property taxes?
Oh, golly. We'll put him in his room and keep him there and hold him until after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio.
Welcome to Tailgating.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. All three county commissioners in studio today waiting for your calls. The number, if you have a question or comment for our guest today, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment. Now, just before we broke away for the news, Commissioner Bartschiger threw out a challenge, a tease. You want to repeat that? Now, go ahead. I dare you.
Yeah, why don't you? Yeah. Why doesn't KJO take a poll on how many people want to increase their property taxes to pay for more government in Josephine County?
Why? Well, I don't think anybody... Well, let's see. Last time I saw that something like that on the ballot, it failed by about 80%.
Right.
And I don't think that's changed very much, although I do think there are ways to make something like that happen. I was kind of, quite frankly, this is my own personal opinion, when one of those proposals went down, I think we're talking about the city's restaurant tax, that would have raised a significant amount of money, more than the increase in more than the increase in your utility bill, and at the same time, that would have given me the choice of when I wanted to spend my money and where.
Well, the question was your property taxes to pay for more county government. Okay, mm-hmm. Don't go down these rabbit holes for, you know, like our dog. You know, we had a measure on there to increase money for the animal shelter.
Yes.
It went down.
Yes.
I'm talking general government. So mm-hmm. right now, the total amount we get from all of your property taxes in Josephine County for general government is $5.5 million. It's like 58 and a half cents. Would you be interested in increasing that rate for general government?
For general government. All right. Well, that's going to go down to a resounding defeat.
Yes.
There's no question about that. The question is the government, and what do we need inside that government, and how efficient is it? And I know that's some of what you've been dealing with currently.
Compared to all the counties in the state of Oregon, only Curry County is less. I think Jackson County is $2.36. We're at 58.5. So some people say, well, you're not paying your fair share. I used to hear this in the legislature all the time. Josephine County doesn't pay their fair share, because you go to Multnomah County, it's very high. So that would be the question. Would you want to increase your property taxes to be similar to all the other counties? And the reason it's so low is because of the ONC funds.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need to have property taxes in the 70s. So that would be the question. That's what I was referring to. And I agree with you. I think the answer is no, unequivocally.
Is there a way? Okay. We were talking about the words during the news. Unequivocally, that's a good word. You can use that a lot.
Okay.
The key here is, what do people want from their government? And are we overproviding? Are we underproviding? What do you hear?
Well, that's always the magic argument. Mm-hmm. I've said it all. It says, what do people want for government, and how much are they willing to spend? Those are the two questions, and that's the balancing act you're always doing with government. And it changes from location to location. The more rural a county is, the less government they want. And the more urban a county is, the more government they want. It's not that hard. That's just how it is.
All right. Well, you're stating facts as they are. Could those facts change? I know
facts don't change.
The facts don't change, but the situations do. And you say the rural counties want less government. We're a rural county, are we not?
That's correct. But you would think Jackson County is a rural county, but actually they're almost urban now.
I was going to say they're
rural. Okay, and look at their taxes are much higher.
Medford's what, over 250,000 people?
Yeah. So their taxes are much higher. Curry County is even less urban. They're more rural than we are, and so they're less. And you see that as you go across the country.
Right. Are we providing things that we can do away with on a county level?
Well, you can do away with everything if nobody wants the services. But I think people want law enforcement.
Well, law enforcement there. First government lesson I ever learned is government was formed to provide for the people things that they could not provide for by themselves.
Correct.
Okay. Now, put that aside. Are we providing things that the people can do for themselves?
I think that's going to be a mixed bag. It depends who you talk to. There's some people say they don't need absolutely no government. They don't need law enforcement. They don't need nothing. Then there's other people who say we need a lot more. So it's everything in between, Chuck. And so you always – so this fire district that we're talking about, that's going to be a good conversation, because this is dealing with rural Josephine County. And do those people feel that they'll benefit from a fire district, or do they want it like it is right now? So this is going to be an interesting question in the next year.
All right. Well, that fire district is coming up, and you're pushing – I say pushing – you're providing an opportunity to create this fire district. Is that correct?
We're going to create it. It's going to take a vote of three of us, but that is the proposal, to create a fire district. It will have no money attached to it, because the last one went down. It was $1.84 and it went down. The people said no. They didn't say, I don't think they said no to the district. I think they said no to the assessment. So now we're going to do it a little differently. We'll create the fire district, create the boundary. Then there will be a vote in May for the board of directors for that district. Now it's hands off from the commissioner's office. We're done with our job. That board will go to the people in that district for an assessment. And if the board does its job correctly, as they canvass for what that assessment should be, it should pass. If the board just says we're smarter than the people, or they let special interest groups intervene, it probably won't pass.
Has that fire district been defined? Do we have boundaries?
We have a rough idea, because we're kind of going off the fire district boundary from the last proposed fire district, but there could be some adjustments in that, and that'll come towards the end of the process before the commissioners vote on that district. So that could be changed a little bit, but it's kind of a rough draft. Let's talk about that. I think that's the best way to look at it.
All right. What's next in that process?
So then the commissioners will vote on the proposal. If we vote yes, the district is formed. It has no assessment, though. Then in May, people will have to run for a 5-member board at large. They're elected. Then that board, like I said, if they canvass the district correctly and they come up with a consensus on what the assessment should be from the people, then that'll be voted on next November. Now, one caveat in there is, when I was in the Senate, I got $1.5 million for this district. And we have it, but we can't appropriate it to the district until it's formed. So that board will start out with $1.5 million.
So there's $1.5 million sitting in a bank ready for a district to be formed.
That's correct.
Are you getting any interest on it?
Oh, there's a lot of interest.
Is that interest to stay with the district?
I would say that's what I'm hearing so far, but I'm worried about – I'm concerned that the special interest groups that will get involved in this and try to muddy the waters, let's say.
Okay.
I'm hearing a little – so remember, our next hearing is a public hearing.
Correct.
Get to hear from the people. So
we have a date for that yet.
I think it's 2 weeks from last Wednesday.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah, so I'm hearing about a 50-50 split. Some people don't understand why they need a district. They like what they have now. They like the membership fee that they got. They don't understand. And so as I explain it to those folks, I said, listen, you can have a district, but it doesn't mean you have to go out and even vote for a tax base. You can leave it just like it is, and just have the district. But I said, the district also helps you if you have your property and you want to build onto your property. It also helps because the building and safety out of Salem says that you need to belong to a fire district. And so now they would be in a fire district. And so people are non-trusting. They're worried that somehow this district's going to cost them more money, and they're worried that somebody's going to come in, some group's going to come in and hijack it and charge them more. And I said, listen, it's going to be the voters that decides the cost, like the commissioner said. But you know, the voters could vote down 50 cents a thousand. They could vote the whole thing down and just stay where they're at. And so it's going to be interesting, but at the end of the day, the district doesn't cost you no money. It just now makes it where you meet the state regulations in the building part of it that you can build because you belong to a district inside of a district.
I'm inside of a fire district that doesn't have fire engines or firemen or any way to protect me, but I've got my commercial subscription to another fire service.
Right.
But you can have that too. Mm-hmm. But here's across this country, fire districts are the way to go. It's a vast majority, I'd say in the high 90%. Now, there's a lot of the country has no fire districts, no fire protection. But in rural areas or small towns, USA, across this country, they're fire districts. And a lot of them are all volunteer. In fact, there's more volunteer fire people than there are paid fire people in the United States. The good thing about a fire district, in my opinion, is the citizens are in control. When you're using a fire company or a subscription or something like, you're not in control. That company can charge whatever they want, and they can provide whatever services they want. There's no
or chance, they can leave
or they can leave. Yeah. And so you have no control over a private company, but a fire district you have control over. And that's kind of the template for fire districts, is the people get involved, the citizens get involved. Some of them become volunteers on it. You might have some paid, some volunteer. You might have all paid. It just depends. It's a mixed bag. That's the beauty about it, is you can expand it or you can contract it by a vote of the citizens. And if you don't like the board, you get rid of the board, or you get a new board in there. So it's all controlled by citizens. It's citizen driven. The other model is not. There's no input, zero input from the citizens.
All right. Andres, you're pretty quiet on this one. Want to weigh in?
I think there's a couple of frustrations and maybe some misunderstandings. Like Commissioner West said earlier, a lot of people are confused exactly about what this is. And it depends, I think, on which side you stand on. Are you someone who wants to do some development on your property, let's say? And there is a requirement, a state requirement, that says that you need to be a part of a fire district and you need to have evidence of coverage. So before you, as my understanding, before you can get issued a permit from building and safety or from planning department, you have to show that evidence. So if you're on that side of the equation, whereas you want to do some developing, the fire district could be good because it's something that you need, especially if it's in an area where a commercial company doesn't provide service. Because if you can't prove that you can't get the permits. So you're kind of in a bad spot. Now, if you're on the other side of the equation, let's say you live on your homestead, you don't plan on building anything, your houses or your dwellings are in a place where you feel they're not in a significant fire danger. And let's say, for instance, you don't have to have insurance for whatever reasons, you don't have a mortgage, you might decide, you know, I don't want to be a part of this. But now if you're in that district, then they decide to give you an assessment. Now you're in it and you're paying. So you've got two different ways to look at it. The other thing that when I looked at it, and it was the first question that I raised, is what are the boundaries? And we have a rough draft of the boundaries, but unless I know I'm in it or I'm not in it, you're not going to know how I feel about it. Obviously, if I'm out it, I might not be interested in it at all. So that's one of the things that I'd be concerned about, is whether you're in it or not.
So people should be looking for that next meeting, John, you said, coming up in, what, a couple of weeks?
Next week, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it's next week.
And we have to make sure, we give clarity here, there's a difference between if you live in the WUI, you know, the woods, or in an area that could be affected by wildland fire, you're already paying an assessment to Oregon Department of Forestry for that service. That's okay. What we're talking about is a structural service. Oh, okay, they're not wildland firefighters. They can engage in wildland firefighting, but they don't have the rural fire departments don't have the ability to call up air tankers and helicopters and crews and dozers and all that. So they're very limited on what they can do in a wildland fire situation. They mostly participate in structure protection, but they're limited. If you only have a half a dozen fire engines and you've got a a 2-mile wall of wildland fire hitting a community, well, there you have it. So anyways, you know, and I think Commissioner West is right and Commissioner Black is right. The biggest effort that we're going to have to is to educate the people, because I don't think the average citizen understands how this really works.
Yeah, there are so many ins and outs to government these days that the average person out there would almost have to go full-time in order to understand everything that you fellas deal with on a daily basis. All right, thank you very much. Hey, stay tuned. We'll have more. It's a Tuesday talk show on KAJO Radio, and we'll be back after this.
Hill Dentistry.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you with us here, Tuesday Talk Show. Final segment for county commissioners today. We've got about 6 minutes left, so I'm just going to start here with the new kid on the block, Andrus Black. Certainly step up in the microphone. You said earlier you've been on the job for about 7 weeks. Is it what you thought it was going to be?
It is, and it isn't. So two ways. Yes, I was politically involved and kind of knew what the ongoings were with the county. And so I had a little bit of insight in there. But I didn't, what I didn't expect or see coming was how much disinformation and bad information there was out there from the usual media outlets as to what exactly is going on. It appears to me that what's been reported in some of the print media and as well as in not on Facebook, so I don't know exactly, but I have people coming up to me and saying, hey, why are you doing this or why is this going on? And I've given them a puzzled look like, where did you hear that? And just really, really perplexed at how different what really is happening and how much misinformation is out there. And I think that makes it really, really difficult, because I feel like my colleagues here, we want to do a good job. We're putting in the effort. We're doing the research. We're doing everything right. Yet somebody out there or some entities out there are just out to sandbag and create lots of misinformation and strife. And it's just disappointing, that part.
All right, now here's a question for the ages. How do you fix it?
Well, what I'm doing, my part is whenever anybody approaches me with a question and if I have the answer, I set them straight. And I'll tell them, look, where did you hear that? You cannot trust that source. And if you ever hear anything that's really unusual that you think that can't really be happening, I raise my hand. I say, reach out to me. I'll show you the evidence. I'll show you what's going on. Or even better yet, watch the videos of all the meetings we have. If you watch those, you will know what's going on.
All right. Is the job what you thought it would be when you stepped forward?
Yes, it was what I expected, but there was a lot that I didn't know and didn't know what to expect. But I feel privileged to be a part of this team. I think we're doing a great job. We're moving forward and being really responsible with what the residents of Josephine County want in terms of services and in terms of being responsible with their money, because that's what we're entrusted with.
All right, Herman, give him a grade.
Well, my observations.
Rob probably wasn't fair, but
of Commissioner Black is that he gets very impatient at the speed of what the county moves, and
we all?
That is government, because there's so many people, department heads, and employees and stuff. It just takes a while. I think my biggest. I go back to when I first ran for the Senate and when I ran for county commissioner. Transparency, transparency, transparency. And I'm still, after almost 4 years here at the county, been pushing for transparency. What can be on the executive, in our executive meetings, it really needs to be limited. And I've watched that the whole time, because everything should be transparent. And we still have people that work for the county that are always like, oh, I don't want to get, no, I don't want people to see this. No, I don't want to divulge this. It upsets me very, very much. Any single document in this county that is subject to a public records request and a individual makes a statement like, oh, I don't know if I want people to see that, that really upsets me. If you want to set my rockets off, do that. And so it's still going on here at the county, Chuck. We still bump into it every once in a while. And this is the people's government. This is not the government for the people that work here. It's not the government for the people that are elected here. This is the people's government. And that's the way you need to look at it. And if the people want to take a peek and look at what's going on, they should be able to take a peek and know what's going on. And so I'm still fighting that.
All right. John, close us out here.
Smaller government, less government. That's what the people want. And I think that's what is very adamant. I don't even know how to deal with it when I have an employee say, mine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you have when you work in the government is the taxpayers. The vehicle, your desk, your office, that is owned by the taxpayer. And so, I keep saying it. We're got financial issues because of the contraction and the cost of everything. Nobody likes to hear it, but this should have started, 8 years ago. We need to tighten our belt more. We need to have smaller government, less government, and more efficient government. And we can do that. But is there going to be some people not like it?
About 30 seconds, John.
Yes, they're not going to like it. But one thing I want to remind everybody, the horse racing.
Ah.
We have the horse racing over at the track at the fairgrounds. And I want to encourage people that likes that to go to that. And just remember fall's here. Halloween's coming up, everything. So there's positives in our community. We don't have to always look at all the negatives.
Thank you very much. John West and the County Commissioners this morning here on the Tuesday Talk Show.
Hi, it's Devin from...